paper. So Joel's going to read my scriptures for me. So it's going to be a little bit of a glitch. But if I caught the themes of the last two sermons from Jay and Joel, I'm hoping that mine falls right in step with them. Because I've noticed something over the past 2 years that I can't say makes me fearful, because I try to rely on the gospel and its teachings to guide and direct my thoughts. But it has made me ponder and become cautious in many things. I'm not going to talk about prophecy, but I'm going to mention prophecy. We're in a time of wars and rumors of wars and great turmoil everywhere in the world. We're in a time of great turmoil the past 2 years, especially in the greatest country that has been under God's protection in mankind. It's had the most freedoms. And I'm not saying anything against the other countries. They're democratic countries, and they're called free. But you talk to our missionaries who travel through these countries, and there is a difference. You are not as free there. Their citizens are not as free there as we are here. With our comings and our goings and the things that we can do are different than in these other countries. In the past, we're talking now about the U.S., and COVID, it has done something. I think Satan's got a hand in it. I don't think he necessarily caused it, but he's got a hand in it. What has happened in our families and in our churches? We divided, we separated, we isolated people from each other. We shut down churches, mandatory shut down churches, the worship of God, in a land that says, "In God we trust." Even to the point where they have arrested people that sat in their cars out in the parking lot to listen to a sermon on the radio, not even getting out of their cars. They were fined and arrested for it. Satan has wedged in there and driven a wedge into the American people and the religious people and this church. I never thought I was going to grow up and see a day that the doors of the Church of Christ were closed. Think about it. Do we need to be in church to worship God? No. But there's a reason why he said, "Together, together, oft." There's a reason for it. We need the social interaction. I've read articles from pediatricians and pediatric psychologists that say it's going to be 5 to 7 years before we fully understand the depression and the chaos we've caused with our children because of isolation. They're not even allowed to go outside and play with other children. Talk to our educators. I see one come home, wring your hands, and cry. Because the effect on our children and their attitudes and their abilities to learn. COVID has divided us. We've allowed it to drive a huge wedge with fear and anxiety, mistrust, even in the gospel of Christ. I think it's something we need to be prayerful about. But what has come out of this that is good? You know, it was bad. But like our Sunday school this morning talked a little bit about bad things happening, that good things happen that move on. It brought the Church of Christ kicking and screaming out of the 18th century into the 21st century. We have live stream. So those that are sick those who choose, because of illnesses, not to be here, can participate in the service by listening to it. It's not the same, but you can. Being isolated, we do this. And it's nice, and I'm so thankful for it. But God still meant for us to get together, to talk to one another, to interact with one another. We have a Wednesday night prayer service that you can call into, and you can hear from all over the United States testimonies and ask for prayer requests. And I hear people in New York, people in Florida, Texas, Missouri, Colorado, Arizona, all talk. And we even visit a little bit on that. And it's a good thing. But it should not take place of being in a congregation to be with people. Be mindful of your own health, but don't let it drive you away from communicating with your brothers and sisters, even if it's calling them on the phone, if you can't be in a church service, and just visiting, or logging in to the prayer service, or the live streaming. Those are important things, and I'm so grateful that we have them. And I see great things happening because of it. But I'm hoping that out of this growth, we do, instead of becoming more divided as a church, as a state, as a nation, that we can draw together and worship the God of this land. I'm going to ask my brother to read 2 Nephi. It's in the 11th chapter. It's on page 143. And I can't read it.
2 Nephi 11, verse 48. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins.
Do you daily talk of Christ? Do you have the opportunity to daily to testify the hope that you have within you? If you don't, we should take that opportunity to do so. And I'll tell you about generations. The dress that my granddaughter is wearing. My wife's grandmother made that for Haley. She was blessed in that. Caitlin was blessed in that. Same dress. Generations. Never underestimate the power of your testimony throughout the generations. And Granny had a great faith. I had a lot of very nice conversations with her. And she often talks about her faith in Christ. She even has a testimony that comes to my mind. She's in a bad car wreck. She was pinned in that car for probably an hour, maybe a little longer. I don't know what the EMS was like. 3 hours, my wife says. And she was very claustrophobic. But a man came and got in the car and held her hand and talked to her. Calmed her down for 3 hours. Nobody else saw him. faith. If it was an angel of God, I believe so. If it was a three Nephite, she believed so. It doesn't matter. God sent somebody there to be with her. Why? Because her grandparents talked to her about Jesus Christ. And oddly enough, just a little aside, her grandfather or father knew my great-grandfather. They were contemporaries in the missionary work in Oklahoma. So we never know how things intertwine. You never know what you may plant with your testimony that somebody else is going to water. Or down the road, somebody's going to remember, I remember this testimony from so-and-so, and gain strength from it. They didn't just talk about Christ for their children. They talked about Christ for us because we have their written records. And I'm hoping that through my feeble way of preaching, the foolishness that comes through Jim Yates, I will show to you today the necessity to make every effort to reach out daily and talk about Jesus Christ. And we should be praying about what we can do for the work of the gospel. It's not just the ministry's responsibility. It's each and every one of our responsibility. And I'm going to do this, I hope, by reading a lot of David's writings. Because of all the people I read in the scriptures, when I read the Psalms, I see a very human being like me that struggled like me, that fell just like me. And he gives me hope. Because I see how God dealt with him. And if he didn't take time to write it down in songs, we wouldn't have it. It wasn't just for himself and those around him. It was for us. How many generations has he touched? How many generations will your words touch? You don't know. I hope it's many. So we're going to have my brother read the 23rd Psalm. All of it.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We know by the scriptures that David had a lot of turmoil in his life. A great deal of it was his own making. But yet he still could turn to the Lord to have him do certain things for him, to make him lie down in green pastures, to come to still waters, to calm his soul. Why? In the 46th chapter of Psalms, he says this. Be still and know that I am. Where can we be still in the clamor of the world in which we live in when things move the fastest that they've ever moved? Think about it. Yeah, I'm 70. But I remember fast cars, loud cars, great cars. But life was still somewhat gentle where We on the block on Monterey Way played with every kid within a 6-block area. And their parents could let us run free. Me up at the ranch, my job was to fix the fences. My mom would probably shoot me when she hears this. But my granddad, after the fences were fixed, would allow an 8-year-old boy with a dog, a fishing line, a single-shot 22 rifle, get on the horse, and travel. I'd go to Woods Canyon Lake, or Black Canyon Lake. I saw him make Black Canyon Lake. And I'd live off the lay of the land. Then I would ride a day the other way and go to a friend's ranch, the Ryans, who ran sheep, and I spend 2 or 3 days with them. And then us 4 boys would get on our horses and we would ride down to Chevron Lake, Chevron Canyon, and fish for 2 or 3 days. Then we go back to their ranch, and about every 4th day, I hear an old Chevy truck coming down the road. I still remember APS, black and yellow. And Granddad would bring me a little salt, a little pepper, a little flour. How you doing? Grandma's worried. Doing okay? Yep. Okay. He'd take off and leave me. Could you do that today? Probably not. I know I didn't let my kids do it. The furthest I let them wander away from me is when they had the big dog with them. They had the tail, so I knew where the red flag was, so I knew where my kids were. I didn't have to worry about Noah and the kids because he wouldn't let anything happen to them. A quieter time of life. No phones, no radios. How many of you young people could live without a phone for a day? The closest phone to me was in Heber. And it was one of those things where you pick it up. Operator, I'm calling Phoenix. That'd be da-da-da-da, $2.50. Drop $2.50 of quarters in there, wait for a dial tone, and then had to do this. And wait for it to ring. Get your conversation over, and if you were lucky, you made the 3 minutes with the money. If not, you had to drop money in again. It was a long conversation. A much quieter life. Our news came by word of mouth in something called a newspaper. I didn't pick it up and do this. Instantaneous. He made me lie down by still waters. It gave me the opportunity to see his hand in creation and the beauty of it. And I have to admit, it definitely formed me, changed me. And then to have godly grandparents and godly parents definitely put me on the right path. And I remember laying under the table and hearing Uncle Hube and 3 apostles talk. You didn't know I was there, I don't think. But I was under the table listening. Because that's what you did in those days. You listened. And you heard what Christ did for us. They didn't have to make the opportunity to do so. They just did it. Now we have to make the opportunity to do it. And we need to do that to talk of Christ. Of the hope that we have within us. In verse 4, it talked about the rod of iron and chastening and how it comforted him to have God's correction on him. When we have that today, do we accept it or do we get angry because it's not what I want to do? It's not what the world says I can do. I'd like to have my brother read Hebrews, the 12th chapter, And I think it's verses 4 through 8, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
God has taken the time to correct you. It's because he loves us. Not because he's the angry God. And I find that interesting. I listen to other preachers on the radio, and I read commentators. The God of the Old Testament is an angry God. Well, no, he really wasn't. He was a loving God that tried to correct a very stiff-necked group of people. He was a loving God that had prophets write down things to come down through generations. Not that their children would learn, but everybody past them would learn of God's dealing with the children of men. That he would work diligently with them to get them to hearken unto his word. And I believe he's calling out and working with us today to hearken unto his word and to hear his call. We need to get away from the clamoring of the world and be willing to communicate with our God. Remember, he loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to hang on a cross for our sins. Is that not worthy of daily communication? In verse 5 and 6 of Psalms 23, it talks about preparing a table. Well, I already told you what I did under a table. We used to sit around a table and eat and talk. Talk about all kinds of things. Now we sit down in front of the TV and eat, if we're not careful. It's been a long day. Sometimes communication's hard. But maybe we should go back to that simpler way, and not only that, commune with our Father more often. Psalms 139. It's a long reading. I think it's about half the chapter.
Psalm 139, 1 through 18. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
Interesting statement. There's verse 6. When David was in this place of his life, he could not understand that this man, this sinful man, could come before his father. There's nothing that we can do short of denying the Holy Ghost and making the decision to remove ourselves from his hand, that God's not always there. Even in the times that you don't feel it, it's a high place. It's hard for us to understand, but it's there. He's constantly reaching out. He's constantly calling. It doesn't matter how you stumbled and fell. What matters is how you get up. The other reason why we need each other is to help us strengthen each other and to help us get back up on our feet. Also hard for us to do. I've fallen and embarrassed myself in front of my brothers and sisters. I can't associate with them. I'm too embarrassed. That's the main reason. I'm too embarrassed to show myself. And I learned that lesson a hard way because of a decision I made as a young man. And believe me, it was hard to walk through that back door. To this day, I wish I could have seen whatever it was that was prodding me because it was painful. And a member of the ministry that was sitting up here, this is why I know it was God's hand, said he heard a large clap of thunder when I walked in. There was a war going on for my soul. There's a war going on for each and every one of our souls daily. Why do you think Christ, when he was praying for the children, God sent down angels to stand about them? Because there's a war. I think it was Elijah. I tried to find the scripture, but I couldn't read where it was, even though I was trying to enlarge it. And I think it was Elijah. His scribe or his guy working with him was afraid that the Assyrian army was going to come down and kill them. And he couldn't understand why Elijah was just peaceful and calm, acting like nothing's there. And finally, Elijah prayed that his scribe would see what he sees. the number protecting him was larger than the army that was there to defeat them. Interesting. The number of angels that God will send to protect you are larger and stronger than those that are doing war against you. Because of our own being, it may take a while, like we read in Daniel, where the angel is coming to bring him a blessing, and he said it took a while because he had to do battle to get there. But they will get there. They will come for you. They will be there to protect you if you put your faith and your trust in him who is mighty and not in the arm of flesh or the arm of this world. In verse 8, I believe it talked about descending into hell and heaven.
If I ascend up into heaven,
thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
There's nowhere on this earth that we can hide. Nowhere. There's nowhere that we can go that God can't reach us. He is there. Jesus Christ is there. His angels will be there. No situation we can find ourselves in that if we need help spiritually, he will not be there to protect us spiritually. We may come out a little physically scathed, but he will still be there. It's not an idle talk where in Isaiah he says, I will hold you with my right hand, fear not. That's not an idle thing. It's a fact. But we have to reach up and take his hand. We have to be still and allow him to work and for his warriors to help us in our time of weakness. Verse 14 talks about willfully made, wonderfully made.
I will praise thee, for I am
fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Marvelously made. Think about it. When I went into nursing, I found it quite interesting. I had a professor that said that he would either strengthen our faith or destroy it. A professor of religion. Mine was strengthened, because when I got into the nitty-gritty of cells, I saw how wonderfully they were made. Fantastic. Little universes in and of themselves. Society would like to tell us that we're a mistake as mankind. That's interesting. Do you know the billions upon billions of electrical chemical reactions that have to take place to create a baby? And that mistake happened how many times? Think about it. And how their smile raises our life and their giggle. Blessing from God, wonderfully, fearfully made. And he spoke it into being. In verse 17 and 18, it makes a comment about how wonderful his thoughts are.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
His thoughts towards us. Greater than the sands of the sea. Precious. Love of a creator for each and every one of us. I wish I could see that. I can count the blessings in my life that have led me here in my and where God has protected me and done different things, but to be able to count even a tiny bit of his thoughts towards me as a child, of you as a child. Think about it. He's just not a mindless individual sitting up there, not caring about the world. And that was the other thing I learned in my nursing classes, is the fact that the living God deals with his people. He's not a lump of clay sitting there that I could pray to that doesn't care what happens. He cared. Let us make man in our image. He cares for his children, his creation. That's the sinner. That's those that have been baptized. But think about it. Christ came to a sinful world to redeem that was lost, that lost sight of what God has done for them, to remind us of his loving Father. The grace of God is the life of Jesus Christ. And we are saved by that grace. He wants to deal with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants to protect us like any parent does for their child. And we can see that in nature. Get between a mama anything and their babies and look out. You can be the biggest, meanest grizzly bear out there. And that little mama bear that's half his size will put him to flight because she's fierce. God is that fierce for us.
First John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Jesus Christ came knowing what was going to happen to him. I don't think, as I look through history, that there was any other time in history where that, those set of prophecies could have been fulfilled. Where the gospel could be sent out to all the known world as easily as it went out. It reads difficult. It reads hard. And many that did it suffered at great length to make sure that we, his children, heard his word. We can't count the ways he loves us. We can't fathom in our minds how much he loves us. Just like we can't fathom eternity with him. It's outside our realm. We can look in a microscope and look a long ways, telescope, or we can look at a microscope and look way down. But there's something beyond that on both sides at the end of our sight. And it has to do with the hand of God. And it has to do with his Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalms 23, the fourth chapter, it talks about the valley of death. There's also a scripture in the Book of Mormon similar, but I couldn't find it. And I feel bad about that. But I want to talk about that valley of death. And we read that the wages of sin is death. Out those doors is our valley of the shadow of death. It's our lives. It's what we live through. That is the valley that we have to walk through. I always read this totally differently. And I was laying there thinking about it when I was praying about this sermon. And I thought, that's my life. That is what we live in. Anti-God turmoil. A very sinful world. Though I walk through that, He is with me. He will shine His light in the dark places for me to walk. He will pick me up if I stumble in that darkness. The scripture I quoted was, I think, Romans 6, 23, about the wages of sin is death. And that's just the spiritual death. It can lead to a physical death. But it's a spiritual death that Christ came to save. Would you read the chorus? I have to find it. The name of the song is I Am. That's what Caitlin sang.
She didn't sing it. Would you like her to sing it?
Didn't you sing I Am?
No.
What did you sing?
You took right off. She didn't sing.
I'm sorry. You're going to sing it now.
I thought but, maybe it was.
But read the chorus anyway.
Okay.
I'm losing it. Maybe this is better.
I'm not sure I know the chorus. Oh, this is I Am. Okay, so what's your chorus?
Starts here. No, it doesn't. Right there.
I am constant and I am near. I am peace that shatters all your secret fears. I am holy. I am wise. I'm the only one who knows your heart's desires.
Maybe it was better to have it at the end, because that is the blunt of my sermon. That is Jesus Christ to us.
Gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest. And the tide can change so fast, but I will stay the same through the past, the same in the future, the same today. I am constant. I am near. I am peace that shatters all your secret fears. Your heart's desires. at your sides and drop that heavy load you hold, 'cause mine is light. And I know you through and through. There's no need to hide. I want to show you love that is deep and high and wide. 'Cause I am constant and I am near. I am peace that shatters all your sacred fears.
Now you sing it. So I hope I painted a picture and you can answer this question. So why should we talk about Christ? Why we should take every opportunity to talk about Christ? Because he's the only constant in an ever-changing, angry world that we have. Next to family. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is constant. Thank you for your time.
Just like a grandpa, a little blue-eyed girl can completely